Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Valenti and Rico show. I am Stoney in for Mr. Valenti. And we got Hatchet, we got Kenny. Thank you, Jeremy Otto, for the update. And Rico, how the hell are you? Short show, but you know what? They won the game again.
Yeah, you know what? I do wonder if all the angst and the, oh my goodness, look at it, we suck, four-game winning streak, sweep the Diamondbacks, is all well with the world.
Yeah, it's incredible, really, that, you know, you try to tell people, it's baseball. The thing that bothered me about their stretch that they were going through was it wasn't like they just couldn't hit or they just couldn't pitch or they couldn't feel. It was everything. Mm-hmm. And you thought everything was going down the old poop chute, which, look, and they've rebounded nicely. And I'll throw some numbers at you. First, the important number that you need to know about is 248-539-9797 for texts and phone calls. If you're coming back from Comerica Park, we'd love to hear from you. You get to see it with your own eyes, up close and personal. But here's some numbers. They've won four straight games. They just swept the Arizona Diamondbacks 24-5 in the series, the three-game series. In their four straight wins, they've outscored their opponents, which was the one game against Toronto and the three against Arizona, 34-9. Now, in the six straight losses, I'm not talking about, you know, even they had a...
Wait, which six straight losses?
The last six straight losses.
Okay. They had two.
Yes. Well, they had one win in between. But yes, the six straight losses, they were outscored 40-13. And they just completely turned it around like that. So which Tigers are they? Are they the Tigers that we saw the last three games against a team that we know it already, you know, is on the selling market, including one of their better players, Sanchez, who we'll get to later, or Suarez, I should say. And the other thing is we got to see guys come back and play well. Kerry Carpenter.
Yeah.
Andy Ibañez came back. He played well. How much do we take from this? And we got to give credit, you know, his Comerica Park debut the other Monday night was Melton, and he pitched very well, obviously. And today, Chris Paddock, six innings, three hits, five strikeouts, one run, no walks.
So I was right. They got their starting pitcher. So, yeah, that's all they needed. That's it, David. They got it.
No.
So we're done.
No.
Here's what happened. What do I think this team is, Stoney? I don't think they're as good as this four-game winning streak. I don't think they were as bad as their losing streak. What it showed me is the best way, they are very streaky. When things are going good, they're great. But when things fall apart, they just look lost. Now, what you hope is they ride this thing throughout the rest of the season and the playoffs because, you know, going back last year, everything was looking great. Looked like they were about to go ahead and move past the Guardians, and then it didn't.
Right.
And once it – what bothers me with this team is once things start going bad, I don't know, unless it just so happens to coincide with a Skubal start, but we even saw he lost one. That's really the only thing that can fix it. Because when they're in the middle of just a quagmire, they can't get out of their own way. That's the thing that bothers me.
But as most people who follow more teams than the Tigers closely, we could say that about every team. It looked like Boston was completely dead. Then they went on a huge streak, and they went on a losing streak. You could, every team, the Yankees went through a streak where they couldn't score runs. The Dodgers recently. The Tigers are basically just every other team in baseball.
I guess, but I would say. But
the other team
like
has
bipolar.
Stars. That's right. The difference.
Right, so you know that, okay, well, maybe this guy can come out there. Maybe it'll be Mookie Betts. Maybe. With this team, man, it's bipolar. When they're good, they're great. When they're bad, oh boy.
248-539-9797. Of course, you have the deadline that is will end in 26 hours. 6 o'clock tomorrow. We'll know if the Tigers did anything. And you heard Jeremy in the update say that sources have told Mark Feinsohn of MLB.com. Four teams are the primary suitors for Suarez, and that is the Seattle Mariners, the Chicago Cubs, the Philadelphia Phillies, and the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, they're not making any moves. That's great to hear their name in that, but I don't think it's happening anymore.
I don't think they're making a Suarez move. I will think I would almost bet anything they get another reliever.
I don't think they're making any more moves. I think they've already made their move. Oh. I truly think they've made their move already. And their move is paid off.
Well, wait. If you're going to say the move paid off, which, yeah, one game, and I don't think that's enough for them to sit there and say, oh, we don't need anything else. Their bullpen, if you're going to go based on that, okay, Canely has given up home runs in his last two starts again. They definitely need help in the bullpen. I don't think Scott Harris is blind. There are so many relievers out there. Will they get a Bednar, the top one? Probably not, but they're going to get somebody.
Let me ask you, Tony, hold on real quick, David. I think where I'm coming from, and I don't want to speak for you, David, it's not what we want them to do. No, it's what they're going to do. I would love for them to go out there and really start bringing in some bodies and really start adding to this team and making that push. I think that they've made their move, and I think they're going to be happy with that move they made, especially now they can sit back and say, see, we got an extra arm. We got an extra starting pitcher. Or when the playoffs come, you know, middle reliever, you can bring them out to pen. I still don't see the sense of urgency with this organization that you do with other organizations.
Because I think they're going to make the move because Bednar, will they give up a top five prospect? Probably not, okay? But there are other relievers out there who are decent enough that are better than some of the ones they already have that I think they will give up, you know, a middle-of-the-road prospect and get.
See, but here's the thing. It's still based on the story that came out at the end of last week that if they make a move, it's going to be not a major move. Bednar, would you be considered a major move? Right,
that's why I don't
Suarez,
think he's going to do that.
A major move. None of those are happening.
I agree there.
And I think they've made their minor move already.
No, because they didn't get a reliever. I think they're going to get one more. And I think this move, the Paddock move, was predicated on all of a sudden Reese Olson getting hurt. So I think because of that, he's going to make one other move and get another bullpen arm in there. He has to.
David, what makes you so sure about this? That's my question. Because you've been saying this definitively all day now, even pre-show. And I just wonder where your head's at.
Yeah, I just listening to things, kind of putting the tea leaves together. The puzzle pieces, I think, are there. I just don't think they're making a move. If they were, I feel they would have already done one.
No, I think a lot of these teams wanted to play today because there's no game. There's one game before
like
the deadline tomorrow.
Yeah, one game at 1:05 tomorrow.
Yeah, that's it. And that's the Yankees and the Rays. And people want to make sure that nobody gets hurt before they decide what to do. So I am convinced he will at least do something. Whether it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be a major move, but it will be one other bullpen arm, in my opinion. You know, if you've been listening to me over the past 30 years, I'm wrong a lot. Okay. So that happens.
It's, you know what? And as I found out in this business, if you're right all the time, you're in the wrong business.
Yeah.
You should be out in Las Vegas making a lot of money.
Exactly.
So, will they make another move? I'm going to split the difference and say, yeah, I do. Maybe another minor arm.
Yeah,
now
yes.
That it looks like Cobb is just not going to play this year.
Although, I don't know. He was healthy yesterday in his rehab start. So I'm not going to rule him out. Whether that's going to make a difference or not, I don't know. He's more of a starter anyway.
I guess looking at what Evan Petzl put out there earlier today, it kind of just sounded like a guy that's realizing his limitations. So yeah. I don't expect him. So maybe at some point you get another arm for middle relief, another arm coming out the pen. Nothing major.
Yeah.
But that's why I'll split the difference with you two. Are they done? No. But it's not going to be something where we're going to hit the breaking news sounder and
correct.
Say, oh, my God, they just got Kenny Cott. Nah, we're good.
Well, we know Kenny can't go. He can't be a starter because he can't go nine innings. Our telephone number is 248-539-9797. We will take your phone calls, your texts, all that coming up next. It is the Valenti Enrico Show with me, Stoney, on 97.1 The Ticket. 248-539-9797. Valenti Show with Rico. Stoney here in for Mike, 248-539-9797. Before we go to the phones, David, do we have any ticket texts?
Sure do. Four straight wins, so does that mean the Tigers stand pat? There are still issues across the board. Come on, Harris, part with some prospects. That is Tom in KPAC. Mm-hmm. Someone else, Pete McComb, says, I'm going to call it now. The division is over. We have a very soft schedule moving forward. Hopefully, we pick somebody up at the deadline. We may even get the number one overall. See if we play well. Someone else says the Tigers are just like Jared Goff. When he's great, he's great. When he's off, he's off. He's horrible. Right now, we'll see what we are.
That's a good analogy. It's not a bad analogy.
I think Goff just took a stray.
Yeah, he did. He had, you know, two horrible games, and they won one of them.
Someone says, David, you're wrong. I say the Tigers make two more moves, a right-handed bat and a relief pitcher. That is from Richard. Unfortunately, I don't think they will make another move. And it's very frustrating because, like the Lions, we can go to the big dance now and we chose to do nothing. Just insert small pieces.
Well, unlike very much like the Lions, it's not that they chose nothing. It's the fact that they believe in what they already have. Now, everybody always wants more. Everybody always wants to add. But both of these two organizations, Stoney, they value who's inside the walls and the guys that are going to war with them, and they believe in those guys. And I think that's why I think Harris is content, and like it or not, people, he loves what he has on that farm, and he is looking forward to keeping a maintaining a success with this team and not just going all in right now.
I understand that. But I think that's why I don't think they're going to do anything major, but I do think he's smart enough to realize that they're good enough, you know, that they're going to get in the playoffs and anything can happen, that they do need, especially playoff baseball, another decent reliever, above average reliever. It's not necessarily going to be Bednar. There were two relievers who were traded today, by the way. Tyler Rogers went from the Giants to the Mets, and his twin brother, Taylor, went from the Pirates from the Reds in the Cabrian Hayes trade. So, you know, that's two other relievers that are, they're not huge great guys, but, you know, the people that maybe with somebody the Tigers might have been interested. I have no idea. 248-539-9797. I have faith that Scott Harris will at least do at least one more thing. Call me in, moron. That's okay. Let's go to Romulus. Rico, good morning. Or good afternoon, I should say.
Absolutely. Good morning. well, afternoon. Yeah. I got you. Here's the thing. I'm an old guy, 68, soon to be 69. Here's the thing. Based on what I've seen, and I really, really hate to be negative, and y'all probably going to hang up on me.
Nah, we're here. We're here for you. Besides, I like your name.
Well, actually, it's Federico. But close enough. Federico means rich in Spanish. Here's the thing. They need another bat. I have confidence in their bullpen. And definitely they're starting pitching. I just wish they wouldn't let Tara Skubal go. But just like they did with Verlander and Scherzer, I guarantee you at the end of next season, Skubal's gone. Go ahead. I'll listen.
Well, I think Skubal is gone as well. And I agree that it would be nice to get another bat. I think they're going to get another bullpen arm. Not instead, but they are going to get another bullpen arm. Because the price for Suarez, I think, is going to be really high. Unless the more time goes on, maybe it drops a little bit. I don't know.
Look, here's the thing. In about, 25 and a half hours or so, Stoney, I'll be shocked if they go out there and do something. Will you be upset if Paddock was the only move?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. If they don't add a reliever by the time we go off the air tomorrow, yeah, I'll be upset.
Okay. Benchit Stoney. I'm almost rooting for radio for Fred.
Yeah, because it's an obvious need. If they don't get Suarez, well, I'd be a little disappointed, yes, but it's reality. I don't think they have enough ammunition that they're willing to give up. I don't really necessarily, for a rental, care to give up a top five prospect. If they anything deeper than that, yeah, I would. And I don't know, even if it's two of those guys.
Yeah. No, you're right. I probably wouldn't. Not for a rental. Now, somebody with some term.
Yes, that's a different story.
I'll do that. Yes. But yeah, for a rental, no, probably not.
All right, let's go to Drew. You're on 97 on the ticket.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hey Drew.
I just, in my gut, I just don't think Scott Harris is going to do it. I thought when they hired him, being a prodigy of Theo Epstein, that he would be aggressive. You look at what the Cubs did in 2016. They went out, traded for Chapman, and won the World Series. I just don't understand why he won't, like, part with these prospects to get us over the top within this two-year window with Scooble for the team that we have.
Well, I think the reason is, for let's just talk about Clark and McGonagall. He doesn't feel, and most baseball people don't feel, it's worth giving up one of those two to get Eugenio Suarez, who's only going to be here for two months.
Because those two are projected to be, you know, solid major league players.
Right.
Which I would understand if he thinks that they can re-sign Scooble, but by all reports, it's Scooble's going to go to free agency. So if he thought, oh, we can sign Scooble, and maybe when they come up in 2-3 years, that's our prime window, but I just, Scooble's going to end up in pinstripes, in my opinion. So I just don't understand it when, like, we have the same two eyes. Scott Harris and I, we all have two eyes. We saw the bullpen today. Canley isn't reliable.
Right, that's...
He gave up the run today, so why not go stack your bullpen, get a bat, and let's run to the World Series?
I think the bullpen is what's going to happen. I think they are going to make a bullpen move. They are.
I hope you're right, Stoney, because if not, I will be vastly disappointed tomorrow at 6 o'clock.
Yes. All right. 248-539-9797. Thank you. Mm-hmm. There's a story on MLB.com, and it's just somebody's opinion. Trades that they'd like to see teams make. And here's one for the Tigers. Now, this, I might do this. The Tigers would trade their number three prospect, Bryce Rainier, who was their number one pick last year. Shoulder surgery a few months ago. He's the 34th overall prospect in baseball. Outfielder Chris Rodriguez, their 8th prospect. Max Anderson, their 9th. And their 14th prospect, Jake Miller. That's a lot. That's, you're talking about 3, 8, 9, and 14. For Mitch Keller, a right-handed starter for the Pirates, and reliever David Bednar. That's a lot. But you have Keller signed through 2028 and Bednar through next year.
Honestly, that's a no-brainer to me.
You make that trade?
Yes. Yeah. That's one. It's not the same, but Stoney, you know what it's like when you're doing like the fantasy football or baseball stuff and somebody sends you the trade proposal. Mm-hmm. I couldn't hit accept fast enough if I'm Detroit. If that's what you want and that's what I get, yes. Yes.
Because they have, McGonagall's going to probably play shortstop, so you don't, as good as Rainer might be, you don't need him there unless you want to keep him there to get somebody even better.
It kind of goes with what the caller Drew just said. I'm looking at the next 2 years, and then I'm looking at the team past the next 2 years.
Right.
Next 2 years, I got Scooble. After that, I don't think I have Scooble anymore, right. And I'm going to have to think differently. But right now, yes. Because those four guys that you just mentioned, they're not gonna be playing for the big ball club in the next 2 years.
Especially Rainer.
So
and Rodriguez, Anderson maybe.
As bad as it sounds, God bless them, I don't care. They can go and I'll work. If they come back and torture me 5 years from now, I'll live with it. And chances are he'll be fired anyway.
If they don't win the World Series,
no, or at least get to the World you're worried Series. About something 5 years from now, and you may not even be the president of the team.
That's
so
true.
So win now, get what you can now, and then worry about it later.
248-539-9797. Tom, you're on 97. Won the ticket.
Hi, how you guys doing?
I'm doing good, Tom. How are you?
Good. Today I was listening to the fact that Carson Anderson was just. Talk about Quan's more available, and now everybody wants Quan, the outfielder from Cleveland.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't mind that, but I want somebody else from Cleveland, and that would probably solve your bullpen for the playoffs.
Cade Smith.
And no. Shane Bieber is coming off Tommy John, and he is due back mid-August. He just pitched 4 innings for Double A, I guess, a couple nights ago
against Erie, and he gave up hits to McGonagall and Clark.
Well,
I know,
good deal or whatever. I mean, we're talking about Bieber, and I think he's a free agent the following year. I'm not sure about that. You'd have to look it up. But that could be a potential fifth starter down the stretch and a big-time bullpen arm in the playoffs.
What are you willing to give up?
Well, I don't know. If there was a package deal of Kwan and Bieber to start, I would give Parker Meadows up in a heartbeat.
Oh, so would I. Who wouldn't?
I know, but go, you know, and then go from there. I wouldn't know exactly how to build that up because obviously everybody rates their prospects totally different or how they look at them. And I'm sure it would take a couple, but I would definitely kick the tires on Shane Bieber.
Maybe we'll look during the break. I want to know how many more years Kwan has under control.
I think he's got two.
Because if he has two more years after this year, I'd forgetting about even getting Bieber. Meadows for Kwan, one for 101,
and he's
a no-brainer.
And he just and it always seems like he just finds a way to just burn the tires.
Yes. He pushes, yes, exactly. You're getting a really good player. And you're extinguishing a Tiger killer. 97.1, The Ticket. 248-539-9797. Jeremy mentioned that story, Gilbert Arenas, right?
I don't know what's illegal about having a poker party at your house. Like
hosting high-stakes poker games and running other illegal gambling activities. Now, California is one of the states where it's not legal to gamble. Like we have here.
I get that, but how is that any different from the four of us and we invite Jeremy over and we're all just playing poker every Friday night?
I don't know. Somebody might be, you know, maybe Rieger, who plays poker all the time, it might be illegal.
I guess I
don't think, because you've heard stories that the feds, the cops have raided places where they have, you know, gambling operations, even still in Michigan and other states where there is legalized gambling. I just don't think you can do it without.
I guess I'm thinking, was it the other things that they were gambling? Because to me, poker, like if you're doing it amongst friends, it's like fantasy football with money on the line. Like, okay. It has to be more to that story.
I think I might know why he was arrested. I mean, because it sounds like he was running this thing like a casino. He had staff of chefs, valets, women. I think they probably thought that he was doing his own casino.
Now,
and that's probably where the fine line is.
And that's just it. Now, I think you can hold a private poker game, but it's when the house takes a cut. Now you're running into casino. Now that's the illegal part. But so long as it's one of those winner take all, or you know what, at the end of the night, there's no money left over. Everybody goes home with something or whatever.
I don't know.
It's okay. But
yeah, it says that it was a profit off of all of it by taking
a rake.
So it sounds like that's the problem. The rake.
Okay. That's when you're even like if we did that and all of a sudden I took 5% off the top, that now I'm running illegal gambling.
What is it with these former NBA players between Gilbert Arenas and Marcus Morris? I mean, Gilbert Arenas, he had his own podcast, which is really good. He's entertaining. He's got a great personality. And you got Marcus Morris, who was trying to make a name for himself on First Take, and he's in trouble.
Was he trying to make a name for himself, or did he need the money?
Well, doesn't make a difference. He was decent on television. By the way, the Tyler Rogers that the Mets got from the Giants, the submarine reliever, I don't know all their prospects, but all I'm reading is the Mets paid a heavy price for him with two of their high prospects and another player.
See, that's not what you want to hear if you're the Tigers.
No.
Because now that means that the price is now going up. If you were going to make the trade, you made the trade like when they did for the guy they had pitching today, price was low. But yeah, as you get closer to the deadline, that was my biggest fear, was one of the New York teams just start saying, you know what, take anybody you want, and now your top five, you're going to have to part with one of those. And that's why I say I don't see Scott Harris moving off of any of those five. Right.
I don't know if it was a top five. I have no idea. Everybody says that they paid a steep price for him. Anyway, let's go to Daniel in South Bend. You're a 97.1.
What's going on, gentlemen?
How are you?
Hear me out. I do not want to sell the future at all. I do not want to. I would be, like, if we get a good little trade, that's cool, an obvious one, yeah. But I do not, like, even any of the top, I don't know, the top 30, like, in order. But none of the younger ones, none of, like, the 21, 22-year-olds. I know there's a lot of good ones. Bryce Daniel, Lorenzo, Clark, McGonagall, even some of the pitchers getting a little older there, like 23, 24. But I do not want to get rid of any of them. Like, we fell down this long. We've been building it for a few years now. I think the future is unbelievably bright.
But let me ask you, Daniel, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you think that if they added, let's say, one more pretty good reliever and, let's say, Suarez, or they find some other right-handed bat for the price, you know, we're just BSing here. Do you think that takes them very close to at least winning a World Series?
Yeah, 100%. I think we are now.
So I'm going to stop there. So you do.
Yeah.
The prospects that you mentioned are all great prospects. Don't disagree with you, everybody in baseball, not just the Tigers loves them. Right. But history shows how many of those top five are going to be significant Major League Baseball players.
Yeah, no, I 100% I agree. But even knowing that, that's still a risk I'm willing to take.
Okay.
Because who says the guy that we get puts us in? I still don't believe, like, even anybody that's feasible that we could get is, we might go to the AL as is, we're still not going to beat the Dodgers or the Phillies or the Mets. Like, we're not the best team in October in a 7-game series. There's absolutely no way that we are the best team in baseball. You know, yeah, sports things can happen. But I would not wager even 25% of our future on that. I think the future is so unbelievably bright. I really do. And I don't see there's any
where
Aaron Judge or
okay, no, but where
that's never gonna happen.
But after next year, where's your ace pitcher coming from? Because he won't be here, Scooble.
Yeah, I mean, okay, that sucks if he's gone. I still think we have a great Scooble starts every 5 games. You know, we can right now we got 18 games above 500. Take every 5th game, we, you know, however you want to break that down, what are we? We're gonna be 12 games above 500 if we don't have Scooble right now.
That's good that you followed and you believe in the prospects. That's good. I hope you're right. I hope these guys become great. But I'm looking at the here and now, and they still need tweaking. I don't think it's major. You know, Suarez would be major. I just don't think they're going to get him. They need another reliever, and I think they're going to get another reliever. That's just what I think, anyway. 248-539-9797.
We care what you think.
I know. Look, he is right, and we know that there's no guarantee you're going to win or make the World Series, either as is or if you even go for it. I do think in a weird way, a lot of us, and I'm included to a certain extent, if they get to the World Series without it, okay, then you're not going to sit there and blame Scott Harris. However, if they don't make any moves and lose in the first round or whatever, and you know, you will blame Scott Harris. So I think I trust him enough that his eyesight is better than mine. Now, mine's pretty good, thanks to Dr. Yaldo. But but if he sees what goes on with this bullpen, he's going to make another move. He has to.
Does he?
Yes.
Or is that what you want? Is that what little Stoney is sitting there screaming on the inside?
I just have faith that somebody in that position knows there is a void, and a void that can be, fixed, but he could help
unless
out.
Unless he feels that, you know what, hey, I got Melton, I got this, I got enough, I can manipulate these guys, I can move them around, I can see what happens.
That was actually going to be my, because I'm thinking, I know it's not back into the bullpen, but Paddock and Melton could be used in that bullpen in the playoffs.
Because you're going to go a three-man
rotation. Their answer.
Yes, David, you're going to go a three-man rotation probably when you get to the playoffs. So now those guys are your arms that you're adding to the bullpen, whether it's, you know, a middle relief or coming in spot duty. You're trying to get them some time so that they can get used to this, especially, you know, Melton. We'll see what happens.
All right, 248-539. 9797 is the telephone number. David, help me. Are we breaking now? Are you?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Sometimes I lose control of my own clock. 97 won the ticket. Tigers win their fourth in a row. They sweep the Diamondbacks in the three-game series, outscoring them 24-5. They are off tomorrow, and they resume their play Friday night in Philadelphia, where they're going to go up against Suarez, Wheeler, and Sanchez. The highest whip of those three is 1.17. And Tigers will be pitching Flaherty, Scooble, and Melton. All right. We'll get back to the Tigers, Riley Green superstitions. But first, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for football today.
College. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, okay.
So, wow. So that means been hard at work during the show here.
Yeah. So that means we got to get into the old drop, huh?
You did mean hard, huh?
Okay.
Let's get to it, guys. College football. I want to go back a ways here.
Oh, good.
So, which college coaches have the most first-round NFL draft picks all time?
Wow.
All time. There are no current coaches on this list.
So no Kirby Smart?
No. Wow. Not yet, at least. So let's go through it, guys. We got 10 guys here.
All right. Guess. I'm going to go with the obvious, Nick Saban.
Nick Saban, that was a very, very obvious guess, and he is at number one with 52 first-round draft picks.
There was a time.
And it started at Michigan State.
Yes. There was a time when Notre Dame had tons of number one draft picks. So I'm going to say that Lou Holtz somehow fits in that top 10.
Lou Holtz is number eight.
Okay.
Good job.
With 21 first-round draft picks in his career.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the gum-chewing coach who is now out in the desert. Give me Pete Carroll.
Surprisingly, Pete Carroll is not on this list.
Okay, that's one strike for me.
I thought for sure he would, yes.
I'm going to go to another one who's had a ton of them. Not recently because he's not alive anymore, but I'm going back to the late but great Joe Paterno.
Joe Paterno is number two on this list with 33.
When you coach a lot of years.
You got Franco Harris there. Yes.
Lydell Mitchell.
Courtney Brown. Huge range. So, yes.
Todd Blackledge.
Yes.
And this is just number one.
First round
selection. Yes.
Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson is not on this list, but there is a coach from the Hurricanes on here.
Wow. Would that
Snellenberger?
Snellenberger also coached where? Louisville. So I don't know. Maybe, but I
don't think you're going to get it. It is Larry Coker.
Oh wow. Yes, the Ray Lewis. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. He has tied for ninth. He has 20. So yes, you had the Ed Reed, Devin Hester, Andre Johnson. Mm-hmm. You know, that range, yes, a lot of first-round picks in that time.
Okay, sticking with the state of Florida, since he coached a long time, and it worked for me as far as the Lou Holtz prediction and the Joe Paterno one, you got to go with one Bobby Bowden, don't you?
Bobby Bowden was number three. He is three on this list with 32. Deion Sanders, Derek Brooks, Walter Jones, Warwick Dunn.
So we have, 1, 2, 3, and 8? Is that what we have?
You have 1, 2, 3, 8.
I got one. That was it. You got the rest.
Just to give you a hint, because you mentioned USC earlier. There is a USC coach on here.
Uh-huh. I knew that would be.
There's a USC.
Another hint for you was we mentioned it in a blitz earlier this week regarding who wore it best. They chose Keyshawn Johnson.
Right.
So he was a first round selection. So if you remember who his coach was.
Yeah. And he actually, if I'm not mistaken, he coached there twice.
He did.
Yeah. That's Chuck.
John Robinson.
Oh, John Robinson.
John Robinson. Yeah. He coached here twice because his very first number one overall selection was Ricky Bell in 1977.
Mm-hmm. Running back.
And then he later on came back.
Bucks.
Coach Keyshawn Johnson, 1996. First overall.
We have to go to the pit down south in southern Ohio. Woody Hayes.
You are killing it here. Woody Hayes is number four with 27 first-round selections.
David,
so Stoney yourself, you've gotten one, two, three, four. Right,
he's gotten them all.
Four,
no, Rico
eight.
Got the first.
I got one. I got the easiest
yeah.
one.
You did get number one. Yes, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sitting here thinking, well, if he... I'm trying to think. I guess, was Trestle there long enough to get enough... first rounders.
Maybe.
You're in the right range. Wrong coach.
Yeah. No.
Cooper?
No.
Earl Bruce?
No. Why am I drawing a blank on his name? Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer.
Yes.
Yes. With 23 first round selections from his years. With the Gators, he had Reggie Nelson, Percy Harvin, Joe Hayden,
right.
Pouncey Twins. Then you have Ohio State, Nick Bosa, Ezekiel Elliott, Taylor Decker, Denzel Ward, Chase Young, Joe Burrow. There's a lot. Now, they credit him Joe Burrow, but Joe Burrow technically was LSU as a first-round selection.
It's true. So you can take that one away. But still, I got another one.
All right.
I'll give you one more, and then I'll reveal the rest.
There's a school that's had lots of them. I don't know if he coached there long enough because Fairbanks was there before, but I'll just, what the hell? Barry Switzer?
Barry Switzer is not on this list. Let me reveal the rest of the list to you.
Okay.
Tom Osborne.
Oh, Nebraska.
Nebraska. Tied at 9 with 20.
Yes.
Along with John Cooper.
Also at Ohio State.
Also has 20.
And Arizona State. I'm sure he might have had one or two first round picks out of that.
No, I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so. You got Larry Coker, Lou Holtz, John Robinson. The one you were missing?
Give me the school. Or is that just too obvious?
He's coached at two programs. I'll give you that. He coached in the Big 12. And he coached in the ACC.
Mack Brown.
Mack Brown.
Good way to go.
Tied for six with 22. Ricky Williams, Leonard Davis, Casey Hampton, Roy Williams. I mean, there's a lot here. Drake May was also one for him at North Carolina.
So it was Sam Howell, too, then, right? Or Sam Howell wasn't the first round. He was second round. Right?
Correct. Yeah. You have Earl Thomas. I mean, there's a lot here.
Yes.
So
all right.
Have a little fun with coaches. Sending players to the first round. That's just first round.
Yes.
I'm sure there's a list out there somewhere with overall sending them to the NFL, but that's pretty good.
That's really, really good.
That's really, really good there. That is your College Football Blitz.